Hi everyone, my name is Gabriel and this is the Hour of the Raven, your channel for everything Ravenloft, RPG, Dungeons & Dragons and horror. Today we will explore the history of Peridon, the city that is the last remnant of a great civilization, strangled by the mist and struggling to survive. First, some brief clarifications. These videos and the next ones on Peridon are a partnership with my friend Jason from the Ravenlord channel. While my channel will do the traditional exploration of Peridon, revealing its history and secrets and its Dark Lord Sodo, the Ravenlord channel will cover the macabre story of the Fang of Nosferatu, an evil artifact in the form of a dagger, which is intrinsically linked to the history of this domain and its mysterious killer, the Bloody Jack. If you are a fan of Ravenloft and still don't know the Ravenlord channel, I strongly recommend that you subscribe to the channel and check out his videos about the mysteries of Ravenloft. I will leave a link to the video about the Fang of Nosferatu and the channel in the video description. Before exploring the Xerisha cluster and the domain of Peridon, most of our exploration through the mist took place in the core of Ravenloft, and passed through domains that had already been covered in novels, adventures, and mainly in the Ravenloft Gazetteers, books that bring detailed information about the domains and their Dark Lords. I have always been careful to present Ravenloft in my videos, taking into account official sources. However, in the case of Peridon and other areas not previously covered by the Ravenloft Gazetteers, I intend to expand these sources of information. Peridon first appeared in the first box of the setting, as the domain of Xerisha, encompassing not only the metropolis but the area that surrounded it. In the Grand Conjunction, the mists advanced over these lands, making the domain just its metropolis, surrounded by the mists, and integrating its underground areas into the domain of Tibor. The domain was further explored in the adventure Hour of the Knife, which later received an unofficial sequel on the Secret of the Kagatane website, called Shadow of the Knife, and received mentions in the Ravenloft's Red Box and in the book Domains of Dread. In the third edition, the book receives a mention in the main book, but the domain was not covered in one of the published gazetteers. The Ravenloft fan community wasn't going to let the set rot in oblivion. The Fraternity of Shadows website, the best known and most organized fan site in the setting, has published netbooks that continue the Gazetteer's proposal, exploring in depth the domains of Dread. One such Gazetteer, published by the Fraternity of Shadows, addresses the Xerishan cluster. In the video description, I'll leave the link where you can download this netbook. The next videos about Peridon will be based on the official material, the Shadow of the Knife Adventure, and the Xerisha Gazetteer. Are you ready? After escaping the horrors of Tibor, we finally emerge from the Cirrus to reach the busy streets of Peridon and search for a way to return to the core and resume our search for Dr. Rudolf von Richten. In this large metropolis surrounded by fog, few seem to care about our presence, and almost no one speaks our language. When we finally find a merchant who can understand us, he tells that if we want passage on a ship away from Peridon, we should look at the docks or the Colonial Merchant Company of Xerisha. We found the building of the Colonial Merchant Company of Xerisha, and there we discover bureaucrats and employees versed in our language. Without a scheduled appointment, we are taken to a waiting room, an office in a library, to wait for a captain. While we wait, we discover in this collection a newly translated and printed tome in our language, telling the history of the nation of Xerisha and its tragic disappearance in the mists.
Hour of the Raven.
The city of Peridon has most of its population literate, and its university houses many scholars and experts with great erudition and knowledge. This might lead to the assumption that they have a vast and well-recorded history of the nation of Xerisha, but this is not the case. Even in this cultured and erudite city, part of its history has been lost forever. Although Peridon was the great capital of Xerisha, much of its historical documents and records of its history and of its great noble families were kept in states and castles outside the city that were swallowed with the advance of the mist that consumed this nation during the Grand Conjunction. Of the records that were in Peridon, much were lost in the Great Fire, and the city's humid climate also proved to be harmful to the conservation of books. Despite that, it is possible to find important documents and records that allow us to trace the history of the nation of Xerisha. The realm of Xerisha was unified under the crown of King Fëanor almost 1,000 years ago, putting an end to a cycle of wars between several rival fiefdoms. The consolidation of this reign took place with a marriage between two rival noble families, and King Fëanor married Queen Myrdin. The marriage soon bore fruit, with Lady Myrdin giving birth to the heir to the throne, Princess Parina. It was in honor of the birth of this child that the city of Peridon was named. King Fëanor died shortly after the birth of his daughter in a suspicious hunting accident. Although death, intrigue, and tragedy always haunted the royal family, the royal dynasty persevered, and the monarchy ruled uncontested for many centuries. This monarchical hegemony would come to an end in 546 of the Barovian calendar, when the city of Peridon suffered the Great Fire. The causes of this tragic incident remain a mystery, but sources attest that it originated in the docks, probably in oil, liquor, coal, and hemp sheds. After massive explosions, the fire spread to the city, and Peridon burned for 2 nights, until, with the help of a storm, the fire was put out. Most of the population managed to flee Peridon, but 4/5 of the city were destroyed by the flames or by the authorities in a desperate attempt to control the fire. The aftermath of the fire left the population of Peridon on the brink of revolt, and members of the aristocracy took advantage of the situation to further inflame the population. The monarch who occupied the throne at the time was Anne II, the Virgin Queen, a pious ruler devoted to the temple of divinity of mankind, and she began to suffer an incredible political pressure. After a period of fasting and praying in the temple, and without an heir to pass the crown to, she decided to abdicate the throne. Her last royal decree was to establish the parliament and to order that her great palace, untouched by the flames, should be demolished so that its brick were used in rebuilding the city. To these days, the characteristic bricks can be found in the buildings and streets of Peridon. After this last act, Queen Anne II entered a monastery where she lived in seclusion and was forgotten by history. The aristocracy began to share power through parliament and confiscated the royal treasure in the name of rebuilding the city. Historical records from this period are quite scarce, as Peridon was rebuilt in the chaos of the dismantling of the monarchy. The Great Fire was not the only tragedy that befell Xerisha at the time, and the scholars believe that the Great Fire of 546 is also the date that the nation of Xerisha was shrouded in mists and isolated from the rest of the known world. The Great Kingdom of Xerisha, which once expanded its influence over many distant lands, suddenly became isolated. Large merchant naval companies went bankrupt, with vessels and cargo considered lost forever on the high seas, and the kingdom, in addition to reorganizing itself politically, also began to face serious economic problems. Unequivocal proof of the integration of the nation of Xerisha into the land of the Medes can be found in the records of the year of 551, when the arrival of Avestani caravan in Paridon is first recorded in accounts by merchants and law enforcement authorities. Shortly after Xerisha was swallowed by the Medes, the city of Paridon began to suffer from bloodyjack terrible crimes. The first time his cycle of murders were recorded was in 586, when a mysterious killer killed 6 people over 6 nights. With each murder cycle, he changes the group of his victims, having already taken prostitutes, academics, and even members of the aristocracy as targets, always repeating his crime spree every 13-year period. The identity and longevity of this killer are the subject of great speculation in Paridon. Were these murders committed by a single assassin or by an order of assassins? Could this be a bloodline of murderers or some kind of immortal killer? Historians debate whether 586 was in fact the first cycle of murders by this mysterious killer. The social chaos following the deposition of the monarchy, Xerisha's adaptation to its new prison of the Medes, and the reconstruction of Paridon could easily have hidden the actions of this assassin, and many believe that the first cycle of deaths date back to 547, just a year after the great fire that destroyed Paridon. These mysterious murders have haunted the city of Paridon and the kingdom of Xerisha for centuries, but their greatest tragedy to hit these lands will come in the year 740 of the Barovian calendar. The Grand Conjunction affected the entire land of the Medes, but Xerisha's domain was one of the most affected. The city of Paridon, downed in a great fog, even denser than normal, which prevented visibility a few meters away. What at first was considered a simple bad weather soon became a concern when the mist remained firm over the city. To make matters worse, the city was also experiencing small tremors from earthquakes. When a new day came, with the same heavy fog and no more goods or travelers arriving in the city, fear began to spread. People started venturing into the mists in search of food and provisions, and soon panic set in among the population, with many turning to the Temple of Divine Form or the King's Quarter for protection or answers. Parliament declared a state of emergency and tried to calm and control the population, offering food and basic supplies, while at the same time increasing policing. Finally, after many days, the heavy fog dissipated, retreating to the city limits of Paridon. The entire nation of Xerisha had been swallowed by the mists, and only the capital Paridon remained, strangled by a wall of mists. Trauma and fear struck the population. 2/3 of all Xerishians disappeared forever into the mists, as did the access to the fertile fields that fed and provided for the city with food. Looting was common, and violence increased dramatically. Paridon's government also had to be changed hastily. Edward Cunningham, the Prime Minister of Xerisha, was out of town at the time and was one of those who disappeared in this tragic event. The Parliament rushed to reorganize itself, and after much intrigue and dispute among the aristocracy, the 2 houses of Parliament, once responsible for the nation and the city, were unified into a single Parliament. From day to night, Xerisha was just Paridon, and lacked the resources to feed its population and the most basic needs. Ship captains ventured into the mists, searching for mistways to try to restart trade with other lands. But even when a safe path was found, Peridon had very little to offer in the way of trade. Although the proud Peridoners do not admit it, many depended on the trade carried out by the Vistana caravans, which arrived in the isolated city in search of lucrative trade. Hunger ravaged the population, and under government orders, almost all of Peridon's available land were transformed into plantation areas. During this disastrous period in the history, the population went through desperate measures. While the wealthiest enjoyed protection from the authorities and isolated themselves with the little they could save and obtain with their influence and power, the population was desperate and hungry. Almost all animals became food, and dogs, horses, cats, and even rats were hunted for nourishment. A series of suspicious deaths occurred among the elderly, disabled, and children, and suspicion of cannibalism spread throughout the city. The harsh winter that followed the Grand Conjunction was terribly cruel, and there was a large mortality. Books, furniture, and clothes were burned to fuel fireplaces, and the poorest population gathered in crowded shelters to try to survive. A climate of rebellion and mutiny was taking place in Peridon, with growing disputes between social classes. The aristocracy of Peridon was aware that the city was on the brink of revolution, and at first tried to contain these impulses with strict laws, increasing policing, curfews, and repression. The social tension only worsened when in 742 a new cycle of Bloody Jack's murders began. Perhaps the Grand Conjunction affected the habits of this killer, who this time killed 11 people instead of his traditional 6 victims. A climate of paranoia set in the city when a group of foreign adventurers claimed to have proof that Peridon society was infested and secretly controlled by doppelgangers. These adventurers mysteriously disappeared following such revelations, but the impact of their accusations is felt to this day in Peridon society, which has a considerable fear of the doppelganger threat. A climate of instability caused many to call for revolution, but Peridon's aristocracy managed to maintain control of society. With the help of academics and experts from the University of Peridon, and the support of the growing bourgeois, economic and social plans were drawn to restore the normality of the city of Parity and make it emerge from the chaos that threatened to disintegrate society. The city needed to reoccupy its public services, and Peridon needed to reinvent its economy. The Silent Revolution, as it became known, had its first act as a set of laws in 743, which prohibited child labor and determined that mandatory attendance of children for basic education. The poorest population revolted against these laws that kept their children away from the job market to help support their homes. But between a few years, these changes brought a change in social mentality and economic opportunities. Encouraging study and specialization proved to be the economic path for Peridon, and inventions and technological advances unveiled by the University of Peridon have proven to be its main export commodity. Another major impact of this silent revolution came from the judiciary, when in 747 a series of decisions declared the Zericians missing in the midst of the Grand Conjunction as dead, and their properties were legally redistributed into inheritance, or confiscated and appropriated by the state for social purpose. The following decade was marked by the resumption of economic growth, innovations, and stability, with food conditions re-established by imports, plantations, and livestock established in the city. In addition to the export of technological innovations, the captains of the mists managed to make Peridon a crossroads of the mists, and Peridon became a center of commerce, an intermediary between the core and other lands isolated from the mists, such as Rokushima Tayo, Zrihaji, and Harakir. The conflict between the poorer class and the aristocracy seemed to have been pacified for now, with great help and support of the Temple of Divine Form. But a growing middle class has been competing for new spaces. Now, it is the middle class that is pressuring the aristocracy for greater participation in government and for an electoral reform. Although the paranoid population of Peridon fears doppelgangers infiltrating society, sinister rumors also mark the arrival of a new threat. The city's newspaper frequently reports strange disappearances and sightings of grotesque dark creatures emerging from the sewers. In 755, the last appearance of the infamous Bloody Jack was recorded, and once again, 11 victims were murdered by his blade. No one yet knows the reason for the change in this pattern of murders, and everyone fears their arrival at 768 and the infamous killer's new cycle of death. For a long time, we wait in the library of this waiting room at the Colonial Merchant Company of Zerisha, busy with the history book in our hands. When night came, finally, one of the company captains come to welcome us and ask us to enter his office. The distinguished gentleman, Fawcett, knows our language and is interested to know how we got here and what we can contribute to his expedition if we were to join him. We begin trying to explain our situation. However, something unexpected happens. Through the window of his office, we watch in the cloudy sky of Peridon as the full moon emerges in the sky, and we are overcome by an agonizing pain. Our curse of lycanthropy consumes us, twisting our bodies into lupine beasts. Our last memory is Captain Fawcett's astonished face in despair, before we leap upon him with fangs and claws, before escaping into the streets of Peridon. We have few memories of this night of horror, but we woke up the next day in dark clothes and covered in blood. As we try to recover from what happened, we hear a commotion coming from the nearby street and the voices of an angry mob, as well as whistles from the guards. We try to escape the scene quickly and got lost in intricate alleys. We noticed a man gesturing at us, trying to get our attention, offering us shelter through a narrow door to an underground passage. Persecuted and cornered, we accept the offer of shelter. As we descend through a narrow stair, we fell into a trap and fall into a narrow cell with reinforced bars. From the top of the pit that opened beneath our feet, we heard a voice say, "A fitting fall for a band of murderers, but a major scoop for the disclosure. Get comfortable in your cell, and let the chaos in the street pass. I will be back soon to interview you." After a while, we got used to the low light in our cell, and the environment we could see through the bars. We are in some basement in what seems a clandestine newspaper office. The walls are covered with a map of the city, full of pins, where several old newspaper articles are hung and scattered around the place. Without knowing the identity of our captor, and without a way to escape our prison, we try to unravel the mystery by reading these strange articles and conspiracy theories spread across the walls of the place. Join us, subscribe to this channel, and enable notifications, and let's reveal the secrets of Peridon.